turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 12. Praise God. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth, everybody say, he knoweth, that he hath but a short time. Just for something to put on the tape, Satan has leaving on his mind. I do believe that the thought that I have tonight is key in spiritual warfare. It is the devil's diabolical, dastardly wile to try to confuse us, and by doing so, get us to draw the wrong conclusions when he attacks us. But there is a scripture in the Bible that encourages me. It has to do with God and Satan having a conversation about a man named Job. You remember that? God kind of bumps the devil's arm as he passes by and says, "Hey, what you doing?" And the devil says, "I'm going to and fro, just kind of seeking whom I may devour." And the Lord said, "Have you considered Job?" And the devil said, "What? I've thought about him, but I can't touch him. You've got a hedge around him." Are you hearing me tonight? I don't know where you're living now, but ladies and gentlemen, it's possible to get to some place in God where the devil becomes frustrated and incapacitated in dealing with your life. And may I remind you tonight that the only reason that he got to Job, and the only reason that he found second inspiration to reach for Job, was because God brought it up, and God gave him permission, and God took down the hedge. I'm telling you, in that situation, Satan was completely discouraged, completely frustrated, had given up on Job, and Job was living a life of victory. So I'm here to tell somebody in this house tonight, no matter where you're at, what you're going through, what the devil seems to be telling you right at the moment, don't draw the wrong conclusion. There's a place in God that frustrates the enemy. Just a quick context for this scripture. The great battle in heaven has been fought. Michael has overthrown the dragon, cast him down. In the highest regions, the great principle of evil has received a total defeat through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For human sin, atonement has been made, and the great quarrel between God and man has come to a happy ending. Everlasting righteousness has been brought in. The peace of God reigns in heaven. The conflict is not in heaven tonight. God is at peace. Heaven is at peace. The answers are manifest from his throne. There's power and authority from the throne. The conflict rages on this earth. In these inferior regions, the prince of this world is warring mightily against the cause of God and truth. And this causes us a lot of concern at times. The fact of the matter is that that will never end until his power is taken away altogether. I will give him some due tonight. When I consider our arch enemy, he exercises tremendous forethought and care as to his evil enterprise to which he has set his hand. Whatever foolish men may do, the devil thinks. Whenever man is heedless and thoughtless, Satan never is. Others may be, but he is always anxious and full of consideration. The Bible says in Revelation 12 and 12 that the devil looks forward to the future. And when he considers the future, he understands that he has but a short time. He knows that his time or his opportunity is short. And the Bible says that he looks forward to its close. Satan is not a careless waster of time. He is not a forgetter of the end. The Bible teaches us that he values his opportunity to maintain his kingdom, to distress the people of God, to dishonor the name of Christ, and since he has but a short time, he treats it as such. Satan also infers the brevity of his time from the victory that Jesus already gained over him. When you read the chapter in Revelation, chapter 12, you see how the man-child is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and how that he is caught up unto God and to his throne. And then you see that there's a war in heaven, and how the devil is cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And in Revelation 12 and verse 10, the scripture states, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Satan is right to conclude that he will be ultimately defeated, eternally defeated on the earth, because he has already squared off with Jehovah in heaven and lost that battle in heaven. Kicked out of heaven, bound many of his angels in dark prisons, and Satan is confined to this earth and to the air and atmosphere around it. But one day, he also looks forward to the future and understands that because Jesus met him in conflict, met him when his power was yet unbroken, met him when he had rule and authority over death, hell, and the grave, and Jesus, the same that ascended into the heavens, was the same also that descended into the lower parts of the earth, took the keys from Satan of death, hell, and the grave, met him on his own turf, in his own authority, under his own power, and the man Christ Jesus, the same who has become both Lord and Christ, won that battle. And so as Satan sees his future tonight, he understands that as I speak, he feels a chain around him, which is lengthened for a while, but is being drawn shorter and shorter, and finally, one day, will be fastened down, that he will roam this earth no longer, and he will lie as a captive in his own prison house. But as fallen as this apostate spirit has become, he has enough sense to look forward to the future. He has enough sense to consider his own future. I wish that men were half that wise. I wish that we as men would remember our latter end and consider our latter days as we consider our present days. Why should it always be that the powers of darkness appear to act more wisely than the children of light? I want to point something out. It would behoove mankind to be concerned about important matters concerning eternity. It is not wise for men to know a lot of things and not apply that knowledge concerning what they know. It would be unwise for a man who had access to wealth, who had knowledge of how to obtain and to maintain and to grow wealth, and had at his disposal all types of abilities and human resource, to sit and do nothing with that knowledge. And many men are just that way. The psalmist said in chapter 90 and verse 12, there is a need for all of us to pray. And when we pray, we should pray this prayer. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If the devil understands that his time is short, if he considers his future, if he is moved by what he knows concerning his future, is it not reasonable to challenge the church of this hour to be moved by the same principle? When we as the people of God look forward to the future and look into the future and we see our latter end, should it not be that we are moved with some type of emotion when we think about our opportunity and the lack of time that we have to deal with the issues and the challenges that God has given us the opportunity to deal with? We got to know that our time is short and that our life will soon come to an end, but it seems like many times we fail to know that practically. And I'm convinced that we're not near as earnest as dying men ought to be. But Satan is not that foolish, for he knows that his time is short. He remembers that fact. He is moved by it. It excites his emotions. The deepest emotion which he is capable of is anger. He doesn't know how to love. Wrath is in his very soul. Hatred is his very life. He doesn't know anything about gentleness. He doesn't know anything about affection. He doesn't know anything about gentleness and kindness. And so when he thinks about his demise, when he thinks about his future, his evil nature is consumed with a fiery passion. His excitement is terrible. He thinks about the shortness of his time, and it begins to stir him to evangelize his cause. He is a ceaseless enterprise. He is an untiring tyrant. He is an unyielding, uncompromising devil. He doesn't stop one minute. He doesn't let one day go by. And the reason that he does not is because he knows when he looks forward into the future that he is losing time. One day his time will be over. His opportunity will be stopped. Jesus Christ will rule the ages. The church will stand with him in the latter day upon the earth. And Satan will have no device upon this generation. How many would agree with me tonight that if the devil is moved by that knowledge, that we ought to be moved by that knowledge as well? We ought to have fervency. We ought to have zeal. We ought to have enthusiasm. We ought to pass through this generation in a passion and a love for God that is incomparable by anything in the world. I'm telling you, if the warmongers can cry for war and the Satanists can cry for Satan and the worldly musicians can play their music and all of the lust and the sin and the drug addiction and all of that can be fomented and cultivated and passionately embraced, how much more should the church express a love for Jesus Christ and a passion for spiritual things? Can I ask you a question without offending you tonight? If the devil feels hate, great hatred, Why is it that the church does not feel great love? Shall demons be more eager to destroy than the church is to save? Shall hell be all alive and the church be half dead? You pardon me just for a moment, but I believe that we've let our last service go. We can't afford to waste one more Sunday morning on a penny march or a birthday party. We got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. We got to have a spiritual explosion. We need to have a Holy Ghost rain fall on us. Why? Because our time is short. Short. And I'm saying to you tonight that Satan's energy is excited tonight. The Bible says he persecutes the woman whose seed he dreads. He pours floods out of his mouth against her because he is moved with knowledge about his future. In consequence of his great wrath, he is moved to make earnest efforts to evangelize his cause. We may be half-hearted, but he never is. He is the very image of ceaseless enterprise, untiring sobriety. He will do all that can be done in the time of his permitted range. He will never lose a day. You and I, on the other hand, should be moved as well by the shortness of our opportunity to an equal energy of incessant productivity. Soul winners should never take a day off. The witness of the church should never be silent. The worship in the church should never stop. Like fire on the altar that goes forth every day. The worship in the church ought to be unceasing. The voice of the church ought to be unceasing. The witness of the church ought to be unceasing. The passion of the church ought to be unceasing. Why? Because it's almost nighttime. I feel that in this place tonight. I'm not going to be much longer, but I got something I want to tell somebody in this house tonight. There's a revival spirit in this place. My God, I believe that the Holy Ghost is getting ready to do something in the United States of America that our forefathers have been praying for and prophesying about and believing for. God is getting ready to pour his spirit out upon this nation. Don't criticize it. Don't be a skeptic. Don't let it pass you by. Somebody roll up their sleeve and stick their arm out of the crowd. And when Jesus passes by, call out to him and let him know that you want to be a part of what he's doing in this land. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I feel good in this house tonight. I feel like I'm with some people that are here because you love the Lord. And here's what I believe the Holy Ghost wants me to say to somebody in this house tonight. Revelation 12 and verse 12 says that Satan knows that he has but a short time. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. Some of us have been surprised by the attack. Some of us have been shocked that the wheels flew out of our car and the baby got sick, and the marriage was under attack, and the boss went haywire, and the finances went south. Some of us have been shocked since we've been serving the Lord that somehow we've been under some kind of attack. Satan loves that. He would love for us to grovel in pity. He would love for us to lose our way in our confusion, and he would love for us to draw the wrong conclusion. He would love for somebody in this house to think that because you're under attack and every time you come down to the altar it seems like the attack gets worse, that he's going to win. He'd love for you to walk out of your Sunday night service feeling like that he's got the upper hand. He would love for you to come to the conclusion that because he threw his latest round of attacks against you, that somehow he's going to undermine your faith, and somehow he's going to knock out your promise, and somehow he's going to take away your blessing, and somehow he's going to take away your God. I got news for you tonight. I've got news for you tonight. That's the wrong conclusion. Wrong conclusion. I told you that I believe that what I'm getting ready to say to you is the key to apostolic revival, a key to spiritual warfare, and here's the key. Don't you stop. It's that simple. Don't you stop. You keep walking. You keep praising. You keep believing. You keep praying, because Satan doesn't have a prayer against you. God is on his way. God is getting ready to give you a victory. God is getting ready to give you a miracle. You walk long enough and you walk far enough, and you and God will join up somewhere, and God will open your life into great revival and great fruitfulness. The general rule from Revelation 12 and verse 12 is simply this. Listen to me now. Somebody needs this revelation like I needed it. In proportion as the devil's time is shortened, his energy is increased. About half of you missed it. I'm telling you, that what I just stated to you has revolutionized my life. In proportion as the devil's time is shortened, his energy is increased. That's what that scripture's saying. In proportion as the devil's time is shortened, his energy is increased. See, some of you thought that when you came down on Sunday night and tears fell off your chin and the preacher laid his hand on you, that you were just going to walk out of the church and roses were going to bloom and money was going to grow on trees and the cancer was going to fall off and the car was going to turn into a Cadillac and the house was going to go. You just thought everything was going to go away. But instead, when you walked out of the house, the husband left and the dog died and the kids got sick. Somebody ran off and you come back the next Sunday and you're going, well, look, all I was living for God. You are living for God. But you need to remember this. In proportion as the devil's time is shortened, his energy is increased. I'm telling you, God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. The last thing that the devil wants to see 9 months before your husband comes to God is him talking about how much he drinks. The last thing that the devil wants to see is the six-pack to stay on the shelf at Kroger and a Bible be replaced on the nightstand instead of a beer. Long before he ever walks down the aisle, long before your child ever comes to God, there are signs and there are symptoms that Satan sees. He doesn't like losing anybody. And when he sees signs that he's losing his grip, he gets angry. You see, in proportion as the devil's time is short, his energy is increased. I'm telling you, you can expect a battle. The closer your husband gets to God, the more the devil's going to fight. The closer you get to the promise, the more the enemy is going to act up. The closer you get to your miracle, the madder the devil is going to get. But keep on walking, keep on walking, keep on walking, because you're going to walk right through the attack, and you're going to walk right across the Red Sea, and you're going to walk right into Canaan, and God is going to give you the desire of your heart. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't think wrong, don't draw the wrong conclusion. The devil is angry because his time is short. That's the way it hit me. That's the way it hit me. Could this really be true? Is this really what's happening? It's really what's happening. Oh, I don't know. that's the way it is in nature. Let nature confirm the principle that God has spoken through His Word. Should we be foolish and weep as farmers when the tares are ripening? Or should we understand that as the tares ripen, the harvest of wheat is ripening right along with it? Oh! If it is true that the dead become more corrupt the longer they are dead, then why is it that the living do not become more alive the longer that they're alive? The church ought to be more alive today than it was a week ago, a year ago, a decade ago. I love the good old days, and I like to hear the story about how the Holy Ghost came down in the brush harbors. But ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Somebody get ready. Somebody get ready. God is getting ready to do things that we have only dreamed of and prayed for. You say, I don't know, Brother Black. I don't know if that's happening or not. You don't know what we're going through. You don't know what we're facing. Let that be a confirmation. If your attack is greater than it's ever been, if you're in a fog that is denser than it's ever been, if you've had to hold on to sheer promises like you've never had to hold on to them, I've got news for you. Your victory is right at your fingertips. In proportion as the enemy sees the shortness of his time, his anger is increased. Hallelujah. I'm about to end. Listen to me. Frequently the development of evil. Are you listening? Frequently the development of evil is an indication that there is an equal or greater development of good. And that the turning point of evil is at its end. I said frequently the development of evil is an indication that there is an equal or greater development of good. And the turning point of evil is at its end. In the world of nature, tonight, before the sun rises on the morning, every one of us are going to have to live through the darkest part of the night. Wouldn't it be a shame for all of the pessimists to wake up at 3 in the morning, the darkest part of the morning, and call the pastor and say, you got to pray. I've been expecting daylight, but it's getting darker and darker. No, no, no. You see, the way God has set it all up is before daylight gets here, the darkest part of the night gets its shot. But when the darkest part of the night takes its best shot, then the sun peeks over the mountain, and the night is dispelled, and the daylight comes, and morning arrives. My Bible says weeping endures for a night, but it doesn't end there. But joy cometh in the morning. You keep walking, you keep walking, you keep walking, and joy will meet you in the morning. We are living in the spring. As spring comes, the days get a little longer. How many of us have walked into the morning and seen the frost upon the ground? Wouldn't it be a shame to walk out on our porches in the morning as the frost has settled upon the grass and we scream in despair because we thought that winter had gone. But now ice has returned upon the grass. It doesn't mean that winter has returned with a vengeance. It means that winter's days are just about over. And spring is almost here permanently. you draw the wrong conclusion tonight. The devil is a deceiver. Anybody in this house ever stood at an ocean tide? That ocean comes in and retreats back out. Comes in and retreats back out. But to the simplest mind, the turning of the tide happens when the ebb has reached its farthest reach. It can't reach any farther. Stand in the ocean in despair because the inner tube that you've placed on the beach has been carried out. Just stand there and wait. It'll go as far as that ebb can take it. And then the wave will rush it back to shore. When evil is at its height, somebody hear me tonight. It's closest to its fall. Hundreds of years they prayed for a deliverer. Somebody hear me. But just before their answer came, the news was, we ain't letting you all off this easy. We're going to double your workload. Wouldn't it have been a shame if the tale of bricks would have simply been told when the men came home from work that day and said, I ain't praying one more prayer. We've been praying for generations, and all we get now is double the workload. And the taskmasters are meaner than ever. But at the same time that the decree went out of Pharaoh's mouth to double the workload, God was speaking into the ear of a Moses. Moses, come on out of the wilderness. Get on in there to Pharaoh. And you stand there and you look at his face and you say, let my people, I'm telling you, at the same time that they thought that they would never be able to stand under the load, Moses was walking toward the palace. Same time. I got a priest to somebody in this house. Same time. Pharaoh was saying, lock them to death. God was saying, go deliver them. Anybody in this house going through a struggle? Anybody in this house going through a battle? Anybody in this house under attack? Well, don't count yourself out. Don't draw the wrong conclusion. Well, you may be seeing nothing but a fog, and you may be in the fog of war tonight. God's probably whispering in some angel's ear. Get on down there and give them the miracle they've been praying for. I'm ready to show myself strong on behalf of my people. The devil is taking his best shot, but I'm getting ready to show them a God that they've only dreamed about. Anybody got a Goliath stalking? Goliath standing on the battlefield taunting and threatening and embarrassing and humiliating. That's what he was doing. People of God in the trenches. Goliath, the only man brave enough to stand out there in front of the people saying, give me a man, send me a man. Well, God was sending him a man. When it looked bleak and it looked like Goliath was at his strongest and the Philistines were at their best, God had David carrying some stones in a pack and walking towards the Goliath. I'm telling you, your deliverance is right at your fingertips tonight. I'm trying to put a principle into somebody's spirit tonight. Because if we thought that we were going to put Jesus on our forehead and we were going to wave hosannas to the King of Kings and we were going to enter into worship without getting the devil's attention, if we were going to take territory from him, if we were going to claim our families, if we're going to walk around claiming our cities and not get his attention, we've got another thing to come. He hates you and he hates everything you stand for. He's going to throw everything he's got at you. But death couldn't hold him. Thorns couldn't stop him. A cat of nine tails couldn't stop him. Lying on him couldn't stop him. False witness couldn't stop him. Cross couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't stop him. The devil took his best shot. But Jesus said, in 3 days I'll raise it up. I'm telling you, when evil is at its height, it's closest to its fall. If you're going through hell tonight in your life, you ought to lift your hands right now and thank the Lord for exposing the tactic of the enemy. Somebody ought to get out in the aisle and walk right down here to the front and let the devil hear you shout hallelujah and give God some glory. Let him know that you've caught on, that you're not going to accept it, that you're not going to play the game. You are not going to let him get his due. You understand that he's angry, and he's angry because God is ready to bring deliverance into your life. His time is short. Let me show you. Luke chapter 9 and verse 42. And I end with this. When the poor man who was possessed with an evil spirit was being brought to Jesus, you read in Luke chapter 9 and verse 42. As he was coming, as Jesus was coming towards that possessed man, that the devil threw him down and tear him. He didn't have a prayer. The devil knew that when Jesus got close enough and when he got ready to speak the word, that he was going to be evicted. And so his anger betrayed tonight. And you need to understand that you could very well wake up in the morning and the sea be calm. You're just around the corner from a miracle. You need to understand tonight that if you just walk a little farther, God is going to turn it all around. That's the principle. Join hands together right now. Lift your hands and I want somebody to just shout out, Jesus, you are reliable. You are faithful. I give you glory. I give you honor. I praise you tonight because my victory is already secured through your death, burial, and resurrection. I stand on your promise. I am clear-headed in my faith. Satan will not defeat me. He is in a rage because his time is short. He's got leaving on his mind. Somebody shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. The devil's got a problem. If somebody gets a hold of this tonight, Satan's going to have a problem. He won't be able to run you away from the church. He won't be able to run you away from the altar. He won't be able to run you away from the promises of God. And when he turns up the heat and